In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. Now, we're in Exodus chapter 28, looking at Aaron and the priesthood and the garments. And we started to talk about Aaron and the special clothing that God made it with a design for glory and beauty. And we started to distinguish between the priesthood of Aaron and his sons and the priesthood of believers in the New Testament church. And in the New Testament, there is no priestly hierarchy or separate priestly class. In the case of Aaron and his sons, it was a male priestly class, and it had to be from the line of Aaron. But that is not the case for us in the New Testament. Both male and female serve God individually. We call this the priesthood of all believers. Yes, there's some leadership that are done by male only. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 make that clear. And they are to shepherd the flock of God for protection, growth, and service. But we have this unique privilege as believers in the New Testament to serve God. But it's different also than Aaron and his sons. Let me read you some passages to kind of really stir up your mind the unique privilege we have as believers on this side of the cross. 1 Peter 2:4, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Look at this, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we're not offering bulls, goats, and lambs. No, we're offering up spiritual sacrifices. Well, what is that? Let's continue on. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's our connection to Christ, who's king. A holy nation. We are a nation, though we're aliens here right now. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Romans 12:1. I beseech you there, brethren, this will give us insights into what does it mean to offer spiritual sacrifices. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So what it means is when God asks us to offer up spiritual sacrifices, it means to deny ourselves, carry our cross, and follow Christ. It means obedience to God's word. Every time we deny ourselves in service to Christ and his word and his church, we are giving our lives over as a spiritual sacrifice. That should encourage you that anything you do connected to Christ's kingdom and his church is a sacrifice pleasing to the Father and rewardable. Let me continue the verse because it gives us another insight. Verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. And do not be conformed to this world. All right. So in other words, spiritual sacrifices means obeying God and being holy, not being disobedient and like the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a privilege we have. Revelation 1:4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits, which, by the way, should be understood not as seven spirits in the sense of seven different things, but a sevenfold, because it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's a sevenfold ministry, who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, that makes us capable of serving and acceptable. Here it is, verse 6. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you offer your life and service to Christ as king, offering your life and services to God the Father, we are serving for his glory and his dominion. Wow. Revelation 5:8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That's right. Your prayers manifest themselves up in heaven before the angels, before the Lord. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Here it is. And have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Wow. And then Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's you and I. If you are a born again believer today, you will partake in the first resurrection. Over such the second death, which is the lake of fire, has no power. But they shall, here it is, be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So when you read kings and priests, you're getting a glimpse of not only our service now, but our service that is yet future. I don't know if you've been taught this, but this is the truth. This is in the scriptures. Your service in this life now as a believer will be rewarded at the Bema seat during the tribulation up in heaven. And then you'll come back with Christ to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years in a resurrected, glorified body that cannot sin. And there you will serve as kings and priests unto God. What an astounding idea and privilege. Now, with that in mind, hopefully that will encourage you to make the most of your time on this earth. That everything you do matters for your future. How are you building your life on the rock? How are you serving God right now? Because if you're not serving, you're in sin, you're in rebellion, you're disobedient. And service doesn't mean you have to be a pastor or anything like that. You can serve in a multitude of ways. You can be a businessman, giving to the church, or spending your time mentoring and discipling individuals. You can be praying. You can be part of a prayer team. There's a multitude of ways to just lend a hand. If you're a person who, let's say, has a business and you can offer your services to the church, maybe at a discount or occasionally donate your services, all of that in service to Christ our King counts and is rewardable. So there's a multitude of ways to use your times, talents, and treasures in service to the gospel. And remember, that's ultimately what we're here for. We've been left behind in service for the Great Commission that Christ authorized us to do. Now let's return to the primary garments because there's some interesting details. Now, number one is the breastplate. Number two is the ephod. The third one is the robe. The fourth is the tunic, skillfully woven. The fifth is the turban. The sixth is the sash, and seventh is trousers, and eight is a headplate. That's a lot of stuff, no doubt. And we're going to walk through each of these, and hopefully you'll get a better understanding of these items as we read through the descriptions. Now, let's begin at verse 5. They shall take, of Exodus chapter 28, verse 5, they shall take the gold, the blue, the purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen. They shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen artistically worked. It shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, and so it should be joined together. Verse 8. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship made of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Now, let me pause here. Let's make sure we understand what we're talking about. The robe is a blue garment that is placed over the individual. The linen, the tunic, is underneath that. So make sure we understand visually this, that you think of a person in kind of white undergarments, and then over that is this blue robe, and then over that is this beautiful ephod. Okay, let's continue. In verse 9, then you shall take two onyx stones, which are black, and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, and six of the names on the other stone, in order of their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engraving of a signet, which is like a ring. You shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in settings of gold, and you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. And you shall also make settings of gold. So this would be beautiful. Beautiful gold placed in that gold is these black onyx stones. And you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords and fasten the braided chains to the settings. So it's gold connected to these settings. And what a beautiful picture of what's going on here. Okay, now the ephod, gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. So yeah, there is gold thread woven in this garment. What an incredibly beautiful garment this must have been. Fine linen. And notice some of these materials of the tabernacle curtains were made from this. And so there's a connection again between these garments and the tabernacle and serving God. It's quite wonderful what's going on here. Now, note, there is only one of these garments being created. Therefore, this is for the high priest only. This is very important to understand. Now, Leviticus 29:19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind, nor shall you sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Now, the idea here was to show in a very practical way division or separation, that which is holy and that which is profane, that which is sacred and that which is used for common. All right. So linen was used with the priesthood and wool would be considered common. And so they didn't do this mixture. Now, interesting, one exception is made in Numbers 15:37, where blue thread is permitted in the tassels of the corners, signifying the nation as a kingdom of priests. And that's Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. Now, these onyx stones, a black quartz material, enclosed in a setting of gold, engraved with the birth order names of the tribes of Israel, placed on the shoulders. So as the high priest would come into the holy place and then the holy of holies, there on the shoulders, bearing Israel. Now, you can't miss this, ladies and gentlemen. This is a picture of Christ, our high priest. And when he enters in the holy of holies up in heaven, he is bearing on his shoulders Israel, is he not? And the birth order would be from right to left. So this is a beautiful picture. And I want to end here. This is what Christ does. He enters into the Holy of Holies. He is the mediator between God and man. And he is bearing us before the Father. So as we pray, as we seek Christ and the Father's will in prayer, know this, that our advocate is there, bearing us before the Father. And he's a holy priest, undefiled, without spot, without blemish. That is our Savior. And without that Savior, you have no intermediator. You have no middleman. And for those of you who are listening who may not have put your faith in Christ, you need to stop right now and repent, because you have no access to God. You have no way to enter heaven because you have no mediator. And that is the significance of Aaron. He represents and pictures the coming of Christ, the great mediator between God and man. And for you believers, let's end here by praising our Father in heaven for Christ, our great mediator between us and him. May you be encouraged by this truth and grow in God's grace.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.